I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, the county executive of Outagamie County, which of course is Appleton, Kaukauna, Kimberly, combined locks in northeast Wisconsin. It is Thomas Nelson. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Good to be back on, Sly.
All for all the wrong reasons, right?
Yeah, I know. We need to come back on for happy news.
Right. Well, you know, there have been some things where they have been able to sustain, you've been able to sustain some factories with the help of the United Steelworkers and some other people involved. Well, before we get into the details of what's going on with Rip Van Walker, which is what I call him now because he was in a deep slumber on this whole issue, I want to ask you about the whole thing with the paper industry and why we see such changes. Obviously, the internet and people using less paper with documents is one thing, but how has the globalism, the World Trade Organization, and free trade affected the paper industry in Wisconsin, and not just in the Fox Valley, in the upper Wisconsin River Valley as well?
And I'm glad you asked that question, because the issue of unfair trade practices and trade deals has not been center stage in this discussion, and it really should be.
It should be center stage in a lot of discussions.
Yes. But for this in particular, it's been kind of avoided, which is very unfortunate. And especially since the first paper mill to get hit was Appleton Coated. And as you know, free sheet coated sector is particularly and especially vulnerable to imports. And in fact, a countervailing tariff that was instituted maybe like 5 or 6 years ago was recently reaffirmed, and so that was targeting the countries, responding to the countries of China and Indonesia. So when you look at the challenges in the paper industry, and especially in free sheet coated, so that was produced at Appleton Coated, it was produced at Kimberly New Page, it was up until a point at Appian as well, that is really a root cause of how we got to today, why the market has been challenging for the Appleton Coateds, and why they ultimately came to receivership.
And this is the dumping of paper into the United States market.
Right. So this is happening because the foreign companies are being subsidized by their governments, mm-hmm. By a substantial amount that just makes it very, very difficult, if not impossible, to compete. I mean, this is a classic example of how if American companies are on a level playing field with foreign competition, we win every time. But that's not the case when you have governments that are investing millions, if not billions, into basic infrastructure, supply chain, inputs, and so forth.
Isn't it funny? Richard Haass, the Council of Foreign Affairs or Foreign Relations, whatever he calls this group, who was one of the architects of free trade in George Herbert Walker Bush administration, when he comes on Morning Joe, he never mentions this stuff. He makes it sound like this free trade is the ultimate capitalism and open and transparent, when in fact it isn't.
And it's not. And what I can't understand is why there are still elected leaders, usually from one party, here in this state, that do not get it. I mean, you have office holders from northeast Wisconsin that is very dependent on manufacturing, is very susceptible to unfair trade practices, continue to support this notion that free trade is good for all.
Well, can I mention
very bad for people here in Wisconsin?
Can I mention some names? Senator Ron Johnson, Congressman Mike Gallagher, Congressman Glenn Grothman, Congressman Sean Duffy. How's that for a good start?
That's a good start.
Yeah, because every one of them, Grothman talked a good game at first, but boy, Ryan whipped him right in line.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention Congressman Grothman. He came out with a statement after the Kimberly-Clark announcement. And in the statement, he talked about how it's difficult for Kimberly-Clark to compete globally, what with companies like Amazon and electronic substitution and so forth. I'm not sure if you used the word electronic substitution, but he was talking about Internet companies like Amazon. Okay, what's wrong with that statement? For starters, it betrays a fundamental disconnect with reality and what is going on here, not in terms of policy.
Well, you know, in that area,
what that mill does.
That mill produces, depends.
There's no electronic substitution when it comes to incontinence. And mentioning Amazon, that's actually a point that I've been making for the last several months.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yes, brown paper grades are one of the top sectors that has enormous potential for paper companies. In fact, Xpira Specialty Solutions, that's a specialty paper that's based in Kakana, formerly Tilmany, one of their biggest customers is Amazon. And one of the things that Appleton Code is doing right now is they are making some investments in their capital to be able to transition from just white grades to doing brown grades. So they're doing liner boards and so forth. That market has tremendous potential, and that's a really good example of how the paper industry, a traditional industry, can grow, thrive, not just survive, but thrive hand-in-hand with companies like Amazon. So when I listen to, when I see these statements talking about electronic substitution, when it comes to Kimberly-Clark, we know full well it's not electronic substitution, and they're talking about how Amazon is not the answer, it tells me that, you know, unfortunately, there are some elected leaders that just have, that really have a fundamental misunderstanding of the paper industry.
You had the Appleton Post-Crescent printed the letter that you sent to Governor Walker back in November. And he sent one back, although the PDF of the second page of his letter won't come up, so I couldn't read the rest of his letter. But explain a little bit about that interchange you had with the exchange you had with the governor back in November.
Okay, so it actually goes back to October. October, when we were dealing with Appleton Coded, and by October, it looked like the court proceedings were kind of going in our direction. We weren't yet on firm footing, but at least we got a second chance from the judge. That put us in a position to work with the current owner, Industrial Assets, to try to find a second owner, another owner who would run it as a mill, and in the process, move from a warm idle, hot idle, to being operational, to continue to fulfill the orders for the white grades, as well as make the transition to brown grades, and then demonstrate a proof of concept that Appleton Coated can not just do white grades, but brown grades as well. So I wrote to the governor saying, look, we've got problems here. You've been focused on Foxconn. Most of the legislature has been focused on Foxconn. But right now, we have a homegrown industry that is suffering. Here is a window of opportunity where you can come in and you can save the day and be a hero. Now, I wrote that letter to him, and contrary to what he had said, I actually did not release that letter to the media. I sent that to him in October. He responded the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the end of November, so it took about 4, 5, 6 weeks, and he released his letter. Okay, and the response that I got really missed the point. He didn't address the challenges facing the paper industry.
Yeah, he put a litany of things that he had done for the Fox Valley, but he didn't address the paper issue, at least in the page that I saw, but I couldn't read
the
second page.
And by the way, the most recent list of investments and things that WEDC did in Northeast Wisconsin really only amounts to somewhere between 1 and 2% of Foxconn.
That puts it in some perspective, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay. So you had exchange with the governor, and now suddenly, when he realizes he's in big trouble, the 10th Senate District comes in. The Republicans win an assembly race in a deep, 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 deep red. assembly seat in Washington County, but they only got 56% of the vote where they normally would get 70. He realizes he's in trouble. He's probably seen his, I'm sure he's got a lot of money. I'm sure he's seen his own polling. He's underwater. So he's in trouble. So suddenly, Rip Van Walker wakes up to a paper crisis. And he starts talking about tax cuts for Kimberly Clark. Your reaction to that?
Okay, so three things. Number one, his statement was that he wanted to treat Kimberly Clark the same way that he is to Foxconn. He wants to give them the same deal. That is a false statement, because he follows it up saying that he's going to move the per job credit from 7% to 17%. Given the number of jobs at stake, it translates into about $10 million. $10 million for 600 jobs. If it was just like Foxconn, at $200,000 a job, it would be $120 million. I don't think the legislature is going to approve $120 million for Kimberly Clark. But those are two different things he's saying. Number two, his approach could very well be too late. You need to address these issues well before the announcement of a closure, of a bankruptcy, or a receivership. And you need to approach this as at the industry level, not at a company-by-company level, because there's a clear and obvious pattern. It began with Appleton Coated. It continued with U.S. Paper Converters, then Appvion, and then finally Kimberly Clark, which raises the very obvious question, which is, why did it take 5 months, five plants, and 1,400 jobs to get the attention of state leaders? And then finally, if the state has $3 billion for a foreign company, can't it not come up with a small fraction of that to help a homegrown industry? And that comment, by the way, was quoted in the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal last week.
What else did they say? Of course, they're a big proponent of this free trade scheme as well.
Well, interestingly, that editorial was not supportive of the governor. Mm-hmm. It was critical. Perhaps for different reasons, and maybe we wouldn't agree with that, though. But the point being is it's not just Democrats that are criticizing Walker on Foxconn who are critical about this. The Wall Street Journal editorial page marks a point where now conservatives and Republicans are questioning the Foxconn approach to economic development.
And, of course, he's getting beat up on both sides now. The Rick Essenbergs of the world and the Bradley Foundation are beating him up for offering any help to the paper industry, saying it's picking winners and losers. Isn't that ironic?
Mm-hmm.
After they said nothing about the Foxconn deal.
That's right. That's right. So, but let's bring it back. Let's move away from the politics and go back to the economics. We have an opportunity to step in and do something to help the paper industry. There are certain aspects that I'm afraid were too late. A really good example is U.S. Paper Converters. U.S. Paper Converters, relatively small operation compared to the Kimberly Clarks, shuttered on December 31st. So they're closed up. They're very likely not coming back. Appleton Coated, we fought really hard with the steelworkers. We're able to get a second chance. When there was maybe a 1% chance of success, we beat the odds. You've got one machine running right now. You've got 150 folks back at work. We are probably weeks away from a second machine up and running. And perhaps by the end of spring, we'll have a third machine up and running. So that really is a remarkable accomplishment. So we've got that to be excited about. That's one piece of good news. But that alone does not solve this problem. We need to have a holistic approach, an economic development approach to saving and supporting the paper industry. We talked about why this is important. It's important because these jobs support up to five other jobs in the community. So I mentioned about 1,400 jobs that are at stake right now. The true number is not 1,400. It's more like 8,400 jobs directly and indirectly are affected by that. And in a region our size, when you start talking about 8,400 jobs, you are talking about an economic crisis that is affecting and touching virtually every single household in the area.
All right, let's take a break here, and we'll pick it up from there. Thomas Nelson with us, County Executive of Outagamie County, as we cover this crisis in the paper industry, and it really isn't just the paper industry, and we'll expand this out a little bit as well. At SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who's going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and other great local sponsors like Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters Local 311, and Madison Teamsters Local 695. Tom Nelson, County Executive of Outagamie County, one of the larger counties in the state of Wisconsin, has been a fighter for the working class in Northeast Wisconsin for a very long time, back to his days in the state legislature when we used to have democracy in Wisconsin. Let me ask you, in the broader sense, wouldn't it be smart for Wisconsin not to just to have a paper strategy, but to have a manufacturing strategy, much like, you know, this state has such ties to Germany and German heritage and manufacturing. It's one of the reasons we are a manufacturing hub. Shouldn't we have a manufacturing strategy?
Well, absolutely. And I think the paper industry is really a really good example of this, because the paper industry is not just paper. It's all manufacturing, because it pulls in manufacturers that build the paper machines and the components. It brings in, it brings in almost every aspect of that supply chain. You've got, paper that's made here. And as long as they're here, you're going to have printers. You're going to have truck haulers. So this really goes into so many different parts of manufacturing in general. So if we can save the paper industry, we are also going to put the rest of the manufacturing sector on firmer ground. So you cannot have a manufacturing strategy without a paper industry strategy. I'm glad you brought that up.
So the Democrats have proposed something that it's basically a paper fund to address the needs that we've been discussing specifically with these plants. Do you get the sense at all that the governor's listening to that or taking any of that into consideration?
Oh, I think so. I think you can't chalk it up to a coincidence that when we rolled out the papermaker fund legislation 15 minutes before that, the governor came out with his own proposal about Kimberly-Clark. So the good news about that is we got their attention. They're at least proposing something. Is it a solution? It might help Kimberly-Clark. I don't know about that. Is it a solution for the entire industry? Absolutely not, because it just targets, it singles out one company. So the idea of the Papermaker Fund, which is what I proposed a few months ago, takes an industry-wide strategy. It says, here's $30 million. If you find that you need to make a transition to another grade of paper, much like what Appleton Coated is doing right now, we can help you. We can help you with the capital cost. We can help you with new equipment so that you have the existing workforce that does a really good job producing the product, but maybe that particular product is not in high demand. So let's move over in that example from white grades to brown grades. I think that makes a lot of sense, because it's not just picking out winners and losers, but across the industry it recognizes that this is a very important component of the state's economy, and this is a way that we can support them in a prudent and effective way.
During the Doyle administration, Thomas Industries left Sheboygan for Louisiana. Bobby Jindal essentially promised them a plant, to build them a plant. Walker was very critical of Doyle for being asleep at the switch and not saving Thomas Industries. And what I'm hearing from a lot of conservatives now is, this isn't right. We shouldn't be having to subsidize business. They should make it on their own. They didn't say anything when Scott Walker was, tearing into Jim Doyle when a right-to-work state. At the time, Wisconsin was not a right-to-work state. A southern state was promising to build a plant. Where are your parameters of what's appropriate for government to do in helping business and where it isn't appropriate?
Well, that's a really good question. I think, what I've been talking about for the last several months about the Papermaker Fund, taking an industry-wide strategy, I think that's exactly what we should be doing because it doesn't pick winners and losers. It recognizes that an entire industry, not one particular employer, is important. And you target it in such a way that this is a pillar industry for the entire state. So I think that checks all the boxes. I think if you take that kind of approach, you're not going to be put in a position where you're going to have to single out one company versus another. And really, that's the predicament that the state has got itself into with regard to the paper industry. If many years ago they would have seen, okay, so, you know, the market is a little difficult, we are trying to deal with these unfair trade practices and other challenges, if they would have put together an industry-wide strategy two or three years ago, we probably wouldn't have had these problems. In fact, I talked to the former CEO of Appleton Coated, and he told me in no uncertain terms, if we would have had the Papermaker Fund a year or two or a year ago, and if he was able to tap into those funds, they would never have had to go through receivership. But now we're at the point where you have Appleton Coated in receivership, you have Appian, we should talk about that, in bankruptcy, you have U.S. Paper Converters that's already shuttered, and now you have two Kimberly-Clark mills on the other side of the county line that are proposed to be closed within 18 months. So you can see how if you approach this in a smart and strategic and an industry-wide manner, you're not going to have these problems.
The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, have they been ignoring this? I mean, certainly that's their job, to keep an eye on stuff like this. Are they completely asleep at the switch as well?
Well, that's a good question. I think what happened is instead of taking a lead on some of these issues, and keep in mind, I mean, the WEDC just doesn't operate on its own. It's under the governor. And as well as their board. So they take direction to an extent from the governor. So let's not shirk responsibility here. We had a really difficult time in the fall getting the attention of any number of state leaders. And that is a reason why we're at the point right now where it very well could be too late to help some of these companies. I remain hopeful. I remain optimistic because of the Appleton Coated example. They gave us a 1% chance of succeeding, and we beat the odds. We got a second chance. We got one machine going, 150 folks back at work with a second and possibly a third machine coming online in the next two or three months with potentially another 150 to 200 workers. Just imagine, Sly, what we would have been able to do if we would have had support from the state instead of doing it all by ourselves.
Okay, so the governor is now saying that the tax benefit package that he's offering Kimberly-Clark will be available to other paper makers as well.
He said they might. And then he said to major companies, so major paper companies, would that have included U.S. Paper Converters that was privately owned, 52 workers? Would it include Appleton Coated, which is a locally owned and operated paper mill? Appian, a little bit bigger. They've got about 2,000 employees, and they have three locations, including right here in Appleton. But it's not a Kimberly-Clark. It's not a major multinational. Would those companies qualify for it? And then if they could qualify for, where is the money coming from? Would it come from the $10 million that they've targeted to a Kimberly-Clark? Or would there now be another Foxconn-like proposal for the other paper companies? So it's pretty unclear what he wants to do with that. Again, don't you think the logical solution to this, since it's an industry-wide challenge, is to take an industry-wide approach, have a fund that allows for targeted investments and supporters and support on the front end, not until the crisis has happened, not after the receivership, bankruptcy, or closure, but months, possibly years ahead of time?
Wouldn't you also think that the governor would be going to Washington, talking to Ron Johnson and Donald Trump about this problem and putting it on their radar screen? So far, Donald Trump has not exactly highlighted trade the way he said that he was going to. United Steelworkers President Leo Girard just wrote a scathing op-ed piece on Trump's inaction so far since he's become president. You would think Walker would see it in his own best interest here to raise the red flag on this.
Well, and I think he is, but the question is it too late? I mean, let's not underestimate the significance of, you know, beating the drum, ringing the five-alarm bell for 4 or 5 months, finally getting their attention, and then at least, in this case, Governor's putting, you know, up to $10 million on the table. So overnight, we went from $0 to $10 million. I think that in itself is movement. But I want to go back. You mentioned Leo Girard. I need to make this a point. I need to make this point not just because the steelworkers, support this podcast, but this is a really good example how the future of manufacturing, the future of industry in Wisconsin and around the country, if we are going to make a comeback, truly, if we are able to make sure that manufacturing is strong this generation and future generations, it can only happen, not just with the partnership, but what I have seen in the last couple of months with the leadership of the United Steelworkers, because of the leadership of John Geenan, because of the leadership of Mike Bolton, because of the leadership of Leo Girard, we were able to save Appleton Coated. U.S. Steelworkers were the ones that objected to that sale. The U.S. Steelworkers are the folks that are paying attention to the Appleton, the Kimberly-Clark, and U.S. paper converters. Without their help, without their support, I think that Appleton Coated today would be a scrap heap.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people think that these are jobs of the past and this is a dying industry. But there's actually opportunity in the paper industry right now for the future because of our changing economy. And I hope people understand that there is a future in paper.
This is not about electronic substitution. This is not about the written word and an iPhone. This is about specialty paper. This is about thermal paper. This is about brown paper grades. Like I mentioned before, this is a perfect example of how a traditional industry like paper cannot just survive but thrive in today's economy, is the very clear and obvious partnership between Amazon and paper. What is Amazon? Amazon is basically a brown paper package with stuff inside. It is one of the fastest growing companies in the country, and paper is absolutely, unequivocally indispensable to the success of Amazon.
And the geography and layout of the Fox Valley makes it unusually good place to make paper, correct?
Right, and in fact, I had a conversation with John Geen a couple days ago, and he was talking about a tale of two states, Wisconsin and Maine. For years and years, Maine was a top competitor for Wisconsin. And over time, Maine kind of fell to the wayside, despite, you know, besides its, you know, its geography, its location, its access to crucial natural resources. It was a logical location for the paper industry to survive and thrive. But what happened is leadership in Maine just didn't really pay attention to it. There wasn't a systemic approach to make sure that industry would continue. So it fell to the wayside. Wisconsin, we're still the number one paper producer in the country, albeit at just 10%. So that's a really, you know, that's a cautionary tale. We should learn from that example. And we should use that as an opportunity to do the right thing, to not make the mistake that Maine did, to start putting resources, to start putting attention in the paper industry, especially knowing where the economy is going right now and how a number of paper sectors, including brown grades, can thrive and continue to provide good-paying, family-supporting jobs here.
Tom Nelson, thank you for your leadership on this issue. We appreciate you keeping us up to date, and we will continue our discussion.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ty.
All right. Stand by. This is SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day in mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances, and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.